Well, shit, gamers. What a week. What a week. What a week we had. What a week we are having. What a fantastic week. This is P90, and this is episode 78 of the Get Your Nerd On podcast. Your favorite host, as always. Welcome. Not sure if anybody ever notices when they listen to this, but the news is usually jumbled. That's because I write them down exactly when I see them. That way, it's like, yeah, you get it at it's a week worth of news, but you get it in order of when it happened. So like, that's why sometimes you might hear some repetitive shit, because it's like, yeah, we said that earlier, but later in the week, they expounded on it. Kind of feels like you're just going through each day without me telling you what day it is, but you're going through each day. Feel me? Because I'm the GOAT. All right, guys. So let's catch up with me and let's get on with the shit show. So, me, what have I been doing? I've been trying to finish up Kyle Rayner Volume 2, and then I realized I got to read Zero Hour in between that. I didn't know that. Didn't know I had to read Zero Hour before Kyle Rayner Volume 2. But it's too late. I'm going to finish Volume 2 first, and then I'm going to go and read it. Kyle Rayner is really good. I wish they just made it an omnibus. Like, I don't know. I will finish an omnibus more than I'll finish a volume when it's more than one volume of something. I finished Ghost in the Shell, White Maze, the book. I think I'm going to start like a book club podcast where I just talk about stories that I read for like 20 minutes or more. It's so hard to start a book club with friends online. So I figured like maybe I'll just do a book club podcast where it's me and I tell you guys about the book, talk about certain things from the book. We do character dives. It's not going to be anything soon, but I have a bunch of books I have plenty of notes on, and I would love to just talk about books, man. I love books. Books are great. People should read more. I really wish more people read. Every time I go on Books A Million and I see people just picking up books and mangas and books and books, and I'm just like, yo, this is so beautiful, bruh. Dog, this is great. Read a fucking book. Let's see. I started Kena. Kena. I believe she said her name was Kena in the game. So I started Kena. It's a really beautiful looking game. It's really nice. If you don't upgrade your moveset, the combat is like so bland. But it's really, really fun. It's nice. It's sweet. Like it's got this childlike flair to it, but the story just seems really good. To the point where a child is looking at it like, oh my god, this is such a good film. And then you adults playing and like, wow, this is a really neat story. Let's see, I'm almost done with my Halo Battle Pass, just in time for the new, well, not just in time, I still got plenty of time, but in time for the new Halo season. That's good, because that comes out later. I don't have to worry about it while I do Diablo. Oh my god, Diablo. I'm going to forget about this later because I'm positive it's not in my notes. Actually, no, because we always do a note check. I mean, a news check. And I saved it to my news articles. So it's okay. We'll bring that up later. So now you got to worry about what the fuck I was going to say. And that's at the end of the game news. So, ha, ha. I've been reading the fuck out of the Ms. Marvel Spider-Man leaks. Every time I see one, I just read it, even if it's the same one, because it's just really fucking hilarious. I started watching Love and Death, and I'm going to tell you right now, both of them is stupid. Both of them is crazy. Both of them is dumb. Both of them had an opportunity to walk, and neither one of them walked. They both could have. Dummies. Stupid. Let's see. I think that's about it. didn't watch Demon Slayer today. I watch them every other week, so I do two episodes at a time. Music worked on it. Yeah, bro, that's it. I may have found a co-host for the podcast. Very possible. We'll see what happens. Seems like a cool dude. PlayStation fan. Xbox makes him want to throw up. No, I'm playing. He's not an Xbox fan, though, but he seems pretty cool. Very opposite of my train of thought. Hopefully not too far off, but the conversation we had was pretty dope, and in the store. It's nice to have game conversations, man. I like game conversations. So, like, might get a co-host, maybe a occasional, if not full-time. We'll see. We take things slow here, man, because we know that the OG people, they miss Rob G, but it's okay. Maybe I'll make him do a podcast for my birthday. Maybe I'll be like, yeah, that's the present I want, dog. You gotta do a podcast episode with me. It's been so long. The people need to hear you. But yeah, all right. So that's about it, because I haven't really done anything else, and I can't think of anything that I purchased recently, any video games I had. I mean, I've been on Reddit, not defending, really, but people have been asking, oh, who's really enjoying Redfall and things about Redfall. And I give my honest opinion, and people on Reddit apparently don't like my optimism for Redfall's future. I mean, listen, Redfall could die for all I care. I'd just really be excited if they get a second shot. I really liked the game. Like, it's one of my favorite fives right now that I can think of off the top of my head. Probably isn't my favorite five, but it's one of my favorite fives right now off the top of my head. Because there's so much that I found enjoyment in. I like the world. I like the lore, even though it's stupidly done. You gotta read all these notes in a really weird way. It's not a lot of world telling. Oh, screw all that. I finally started working on my game. Remember I built a PC? Well, that PC can handle Unreal Engine 5, even though it's not a lot of work if you're not doing a lot of shit. But I could finally start my game, so I've been writing hella notes. And I just keep coming up with more shit. First off, the game was already planned out. Like, I already have the very first game planned out. This, what I'm working on right now, is a prequel that I had to make so I can get my feet wet. And I will remake this game if this doesn't come out great. But like, I enjoy making it. And people are like, damn, yo, this game had potential. I will remake it. And I will, like, fix the fuck out of it, because this franchise is my baby. Like, I got a book I'm writing about it. Some of you might remember, some of you might not, but I got a book that I'm writing about it. Then I have the next book planned. I have book two planned. I have a possible spinoff. I don't know if I'm gonna write the book for that, but I do have the game idea planned. This game's gonna go on for a while. I have the ending planned out. I don't know the total of middles that I want to do, but it's all written down. I got it's all there. And when I tell you, if I can make this game the way that it is intended to be made, there is not gonna be another game like it. I'm gonna utilize the fuck out of whatever tools I have in the moment. And the ending, if these systems is as strong as they say they is, and if they get stronger, best believe that ending gonna be crazy. And I promise I will do everything in my power to always make sure there's a disc version. Even if it means I can only do disc with collectors, I'm gonna fucking make sure there's a disc version. And that means I will make a collector for every game. I don't care. If I have to do it that way, I would do it that way. I believe in disc. Where is this context coming from? Well, you'll see. Now let's get to the news, because eventually you'll run into why the fuck I said that. So, news time, starting with the PlayStation Showcase. So, I'm just going to run through it exactly how I have my notes. There's a lot of games and only a few things to really talk about. So let's just go based off how I did it. Arrowhead is making a four-player looking space game where you fight off giant bugs and free the planets from their terror. Kind of looks like a Dino Extinction game that came out on Xbox that I actually need to finish before it like goes offline forever. But it's actually called Helldivers 2. Helldivers 2 coming to PlayStation 5 in 2023. There's a Payday looking game that was shown at the opening. And you know what, that is, we'll get the name of it at the end, and I'll say Payday looking game, but I missed the title, so we'll come back to it. But it looks like Payday, definitely gonna be like a live service game. There's a lot of live service games here. Ascendant Studios and EA Games create a first-person magic-based game with demons, grapple, and a whole lot of action. Looks like a better version of Forspoken, if I'm being honest. Like, in a way, as far as the magical use goes. Play Immortals of Avion, July 20th, 2023. Holy fuck, that game is right around the corner. One more level shows us a cyberpunk-styled man driving off a cliff in his cyber motorcycle shit. And, like, it's cool. But then he's a ninja in first person. And then you find out, whoa, it's Ghost Runner 2, coming in 2023, published by 505 Games. Slay demons in high-octane combat, where being smart is your friend in a fast-paced Souls-like game called Phantom Blade Zero, and it deals with a lot of mask. Apparently, this game is made by Chinese developers and uses a lot of Chinese lore within it. But also, a lot of people online are actually thinking that this game's not coming out, and they believe that Chinese games are just money laundering schemes. I didn't say that. A lot of people on Twitter did. I'm not going to at them, but people on Twitter definitely did say that. And I think it's because a lot of the Chinese games didn't come out, and this game looks way too good. Like, you're doing some wild shit in this game that even Arkham hasn't pulled off. It's kind of weird. Surf the desert in this amazingly stylized game, Sword of the Sea. Bro, I want this game. It looks beautiful. It's like Journey. It's like Abzu, I think the name of that game is. It's so nice. The Talos Principle coming 2023. From the creator of Gris. Take another beautiful game with significantly well-done art and battle with darkness. Play Neva in 2024. Play the cute and colorful Cat Quest in 2024. Sony and Square Enix teams up once again to give us a multiplayer game with an extremely colorful art style and an emphasis on team versus. The game looks to be a friendly shooting game for most ages and gives off a big Splatoon vibes. Foam Stars comes to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 soon. Teardown coming to PlayStation in 2024. Snake is back. It's not Snake Solid. It's not Liquid Snake. Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater is real. That is all. Master 1 Volume Collection is also coming. Don't know if that's coming to Xbox, but it's definitely coming to PlayStation. You know, that game looked really... I mean, we'll talk about it some more. But that game, apparently, that little trailer told a lot without telling much. I've never played Metal Gear Solid 3, though. So, I was watching videos on it. More Final Fantasy is shown to us, giving us a look at this dark universe as we know it's releasing June 22nd. I don't know why they keep showing us this shit. We all know it. Everyone who wants it has it pre-ordered, I promise you. A game filled with horror and darkness. Alan Wake 2 is finally revealed in its beautiful glory. Time to get trapped in the story of horror. October 17th, 2023. I got a fucking bone to pick with these motherfuckers, bro. I got a bone to pick. We see Assassin's Creed Mirage, a game that feels like it's back at its roots. We can expect to don the garbs October 12th. Get ready to set on a fantasy journey yet again with another action JRPG game by the name of Grand Blue Fantasy, with dragons, orcs, and big swinging weapons, winter of 2023. Prepare yourself for a seemingly psychedelic-looking platformer game that resembles the style of Child of Light and Guacamelee and Otros, coming 2024. Ready for more anime-style goodness from a perfect world games? Well, we got one for you with another RPG action jetpack swimming big monster slaying Tower of Fantasy, coming soon. Capcom announces Dragon's Dogma 2. Welcome back to Five Nights at Freddy's Help Wanted 2, because there was no other applicants available, so you're coming back late 2023. This is on VR, by the way. Resident Evil looks to scare you again with PlayStation VR 2 version of Resident Evil 4 Remake in development. PlayStation VR. Zombie killing isn't done yet in Arizona Sunshine 2 for the PlayStation VR, coming in 2023. PlayStation VR 2. Ever wanted to be an over-the-top military shooter in the first-person VR sense? Well, get ready for Crossfire Sierra Squad. PlayStation VR 2. I'm gonna talk about that right now, because Crossfire, if this is related to Crossfire, I mean, they should have changed their name. I wonder how many people are gonna play this. I wonder how good this is gonna play, because none of the Crossfires that came out on console were really that good. Like the Remedy one, it started off cool when you first play it, but it's like actually very lackluster, and there was no achievements for it. Like, what the fuck? And then the multiplayer for Crossfire was like horrible, because it just felt like a mobile game. Like it felt like a mobile tactical shooter, and it played so bad on Xbox. Like, it was really weird. I'm fine with not being able to ADS in certain situations, but that the way that game played was weird. So I wonder how this is going to be on PlayStation VR. Play Synapse, July 4th. PlayStation VR 2. Beat Saber is now on its way to PlayStation VR 2. And by now, I mean now. Like right now, you can go download it. Beat Saber's for PlayStation VR 2. Back to the real games. We finally get to see what Bungie was working on this whole time, and that's another shooter with a feel of urgency to it called Marathon. Something that seems to be set in a strange world and is an extraction shooter live service game. We also get a Destiny trailer for The Final Shape. Now to see what Firewalk Studios is up to, which is presenting us with a trailer for a game that comes to PS5 and PC called Concord. And that's it. They officially announced their own earbuds, Sony, and they announced the wireless streaming controller that should have just been a PlayStation Vita instead, because it doesn't play video games locally. Project Q by PlayStation is a streaming screen with a PlayStation controller attached to both ends. Well, a PlayStation cut in half controller attached to both ends to look like a Switch with a grip on it. And it is only for streaming. You can't store games on it locally. There's no price now announced. And why would I do this when there's backbones and iPhones and Androids and what the fuck? This doesn't make any sense. This makes no sense, in my opinion. Like, I don't know why the fuck they did that. It's like shooting themselves in their own foot. Like, that was a really bad idea, in my opinion. You could have made a PlayStation Vita 2, right? And then the Vita 2 could have had streaming capabilities. Like, better streaming capabilities. And then it could also play games natively, and you could download games locally. I don't know. I feel like they really, really messed up here with that. I really don't like it. Like, not at all. But they did end the night with that. And then they said one more thing, and we got to see Kraven the Hunter's journey to Queens, looking for a real hunt with an opponent. That was a moment of silence because I literally was fucking breathless. I'm reading the notes just as it was. I was breathless right there, a whole bunch of dots. And then I said, oh shit, Black Suit Spider-Man. We see gameplay, cool new abilities, and swing styles. Miles gets a wingsuit and a slingshot web shot so he could slingshot like to start off his fucking webbing. You get to switch between the two heroes in certain in a mission. We see it in a mission, but it might be GTA style. So free roam, you get to be whoever you want. And then unless the story tells you you can't, otherwise during the story missions, if it's a switch and a co-op mission, you're gonna switch. There is no co-op. I mean, like, those two people are co-oping. Who the game calls out, fall 2023. There is no release date. And that was everything shown at the showcase. I am missing two smaller games, and I am sorry for you guys. I'm sorry about that, guys. Every game deserves love, but I had to take care of human things. So there's a couple other things after the showcase that we could talk about. But that's everything there. And now we could talk about it. Oh, but before we do that, a few of these titles will be coming to Xbox as well, such as Immortals, Ghost Runner 2, Marathon by Bungie, Metal Gear Solid 3, or Metal Gear Solid Delta, Dragon's Dogma, Alan Wake, The Plucky Squire, that was one of the games that I didn't get to mention, Teardown, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Neva, oh thank God, Cat Quest, and Talos 2 are all coming to Xbox as well as the PlayStation 5. Xbox tweeted it about 30 minutes after their showcase, and some fans think it's petty. Some fans think it is great because now people know that they don't have to go get that system because those games are actually coming there. The company just only has marketing rights. In a world of competition, I'm mixed on that, but as an Xbox fan and as just a person who wants to play his games on Xbox, that is the funniest shit ever because it's smart. It's great, but they wasted no fucking time putting the graphics out there. It was such a good idea that IGN stole the idea and cut off the Xbox tag. Then in the bottom right, they put IGN PlayStation 5. Kept the green background, though. Like, as if PlayStation would have the green background. They would have made their background blue. Alright, so let's get into these, talking about some of these games and the opinion on the showcase, as well as the showcase grading. So, I give the showcase a C. Mostly because they didn't show a lot of first-party stuff that we were really expecting. Although we apparently, apparently Sony still has those games in the tuck and they might be showing them in the future, and it made me think maybe they were holding them back because they want to get their third party stuff out of the way, their live service stuff out the way, and the VR stuff out the way, and then they're going to see what Microsoft shows. And then they're going to hit back with, hey, we've got another one. And then, you know, make themselves feel like the reigning champs because they had so many games they had to do two showcases. If they do that, then like, all right, cool. That makes sense, I guess. It would have been great if that, or they're going to show stuff further down the line, like maybe a fall showcase, end of summer showcase, maybe. I don't know. We will see. I'm surprised at what we did see. More on Marathon, an extraction shooter created as Bungie's first game that was released way back on Mac. Become a runner in Bungie's new sci-fi PvP extraction shooter continues. Mentions Bungie's. Compete for survival, riches, and renown in a world of evolving, persistent zones where any run can lead to greatness. So, extraction shooter. When I hear that, I think of the zones in the Division, where you get in there, you do shit, people might run up on you and kill you and steal your stuff, and you gotta call in a plane and like actually extract it. In my opinion, Bungie's great, but this game could really end up not being fun. Because the one thing that sucks about extraction shooters is, if you suck, you're never going to progress. Especially if it's only PvP. That's the good thing about PvE. It gives you the option of being good to an extent. But we'll see how that turns out. Apparently, Phantom Blade is not exclusive to Sony. They just didn't talk to Microsoft, or Microsoft didn't show interest or anything, but they're not exclusive, and they will definitely put it on the Xbox if Xbox works with them to get it on the system. So if anyone liked Phantom Blade Zero and they really want to play that on their Xbox instead, feel free to beg Phil, Sarah, Team Xbox, because apparently they're very open to putting it on the system, which is cool. I prefer to just play it on my Xbox. I want to keep all the gamer scores possible. But I do have a couple of these games that I do plan on getting for the PlayStation myself. So you'll definitely hear back from me. It was upsetting that we didn't get to see any Death Stranding 2. It's fine, but it's upsetting. Upsetting that there was no factions for anybody. Sadly, there is some news on that. Like Sony supposedly slowing down the development of the game. And apparently Sony has been going through some layoffs and firings. So stuff is kind of scarce, I guess, over there. Strange. I'm surprised they didn't show like a teeny bit of Kingdom Hearts anything, but then again, I keep remembering that shit was only last year. Yeah, I think that reveal was the last year, which is crazy. Didn't feel like it. It felt like 7 years ago, but 7 years ago was Kingdom Hearts. No, that was 2021. What is 2024? I've been here for 3 years. Damn, yo. Kingdom Hearts is not that old. Kingdom Hearts 3 is not that old, but it feels so fucking old. Damn, man. Let's see. That Payday-looking game, I'm excited to see what that is. God damn, I'm sorry for the yawn. I'm excited to see what that is because I love Payday, and it looks like Payday a lot. But at the same time, I wonder how it's going to be since it's a live service as well. This is definitely a live service showcase. Sony has some stuff that they're holding down, and I want to see that stuff. That's what I want to see. Like, this showcase, although it was good for whatever they were trying to do, I think I don't care enough about anything that I've seen except for Spider-Man for me to go, oh my god, you know. And because of that, I really hope there's another showcase. Like, this showcase almost doesn't exist to me because of all the live service stuff and all the things that we don't know shit about. Like, there's just so many questions left after that, in my opinion. Alan Wake 2 was a cool reveal, but that's on multi and they have their own issue to deal with, in my opinion, because I'm not buying that game no matter as much as I really want it. The VR show seems slightly underwhelming for people who are fans of VR. There were two games that looked pretty cool, which was that it was like a zombie one. Let me see if I forgot the name of it, but Beat Saber Crossfire. Damn, I didn't get that one, but there's a zombie one. That one looks pretty cool. And then Resident Evil is always dope. Like, everyone likes being scared in VR. Not a lot of dates were given for most things. Either Windows or no dates at all, which means 2024 will probably be more loaded, especially since we didn't see a crap ton of the Sony Studios games. So because of that, like, I'm giving it a C. Sony must have another showcase they plan to do. And if they do, it's probably going to set up 2024 and 2025 intensely. So, let me know how you felt about this showcase, and if you enjoyed it, and if there's any game that you're looking forward to. I mean, of course, I'll always come here and talk about the games that I play, but if there's games on there that y'all ain't gonna buy, but y'all really want to know how it is, throw the titles in there when they come out. I'll make sure that those is on the list to talk about. Yeah, I guess we can go to the news, because there's a decent amount of news out here, man. A lot of news out here, actually. So let's get to the game news, and then we'll kick it from there. I'm excited. I don't know why I sounded like that, but I guess I was really excited. Planet Alana dropped on Game Pass last Wednesday, and it got a lot of great early reviews. It apparently is compared to Limbo and Inside as a side-scrolling puzzle game. I'm actually about to play that right after this podcast, so I will let you guys know how it is. Apparently, Sony plans to acquire CD Projekt Red, according to new rumors from a Destiny leaker, but guess what? That got shut down. CD Projekt Red said they are not trying to get purchased, which is something they've said before. They want to remain an independent studio, and I respect that. I also think there are plenty of other studios Sony should get over CD Projekt Red. Some studios, I just think they should have the freedom to do their own thing to the absolute fullest. And CD Projekt Red is one of those people. I'd rather them take like Square or somebody that they've had extensive relationship with. Gamers who shop at GameStop, get ready for more change. 5% off almost everything in the store as a pro member coming June 27th, as well as $70 worth of Valve just for signing up. But the cost will go up, and this one ain't worth it if you ask me. This only serves like probably Valve customers and people who buy every single thing in the store. Like, if you're only going there for a video game, this is a slap in the face to you, because we used to get much better discounts. Our discounts were bigger the last time and then the time before last. The best part about this is probably you get double points, but I think it's absolutely insane, and I don't think it's worth it in any fashion. I think this is actually one of the worst changes that they made to the point system. I think the only thing that should matter as far, well, people might disagree, which is fine. But for me, a video gamer who goes into GameStop for video games and randomly, very randomly, occasionally buys the other stuff that they have hanging around there on a good day, I only want video game discounts. I want my 10% discounts. I want my trade-in discounts. That is it. There's literally nothing else that needs to be discounted at GameStop. You're never going to discount the systems, so don't need to worry about that. The video game accessories, sure, I can take discounts on that. But other than that, no. Unless you're doing 5% off of new games too, then sure, because that's basically what Walmart does. They do like 5% off new games.
maybe 10% or like 8%, but because sometimes they'll sell a game whenever they can, they'll sell a game for under they'll sell a game for under 70. So if it's 70, they'll sell it for 60, and $60 games sometimes they'll sell for 50. That's why Walmart is better than GameStop when it comes to strictly buying games at retail price most of the time. But other than that, I don't see any use in this new model. Double points are great if people come in and buy more stuff because of this. But if you're buying the same amount of stuff, double points is cool. Probably will get people back in more. But the old thing was better, man. You get $5. I missed the $5 for picking up a game. Every time you pre-order a game and pick it up, you get $5. They recently just did a every month you get $5. I don't know if they're taking that away, but if they take that away, that sucks. Like, you're not giving us more value. You're spreading the value between multiple things and lowering the amount on the things that we do buy. GameStop, you're always in stock for gear. No one buys that shit frequently at all. According to the team behind XLabs, a popular Call of Duty modded client, Activision sent them a cease and desist letter on May 22nd and was forced to shut down all operations immediately via PC Gamer. And that sucks because it seems like companies are destroying preservation and creative freedom on things that otherwise don't hurt them, in a sense. Here's the thing. I get it because they're like, well, if you create a good version of what we have, everyone's going to play your stuff instead of play our stuff. But the thing is, for Call of Duty, for these mega companies, that shit does not hurt as much as they want to make it seem like it hurts. If it's modded, it's only the PC community. And even then, a lot of people are still going to play it. They're just going to slow their time down. Everyone just hates everyone. Rich people don't like to lose a single penny. And that's all it is. When you're rich, you just don't want to see that one penny go down. Everyone thinks it doesn't bother them or anything, but it does. They don't like it. Otherwise, they wouldn't care. That's the only reason they stop these people is because, oh man, well, if this Call of Duty thing is good, then that means people are going to stop playing our Call of Duty as much as they do, and they're going to go to the other side. It's like, no, no, bro, relax. Alan Wake 2 price has been announced, starting at $59.99 for the standard and $79.99 for the deluxe, which comes with two expansions, but Alan Wake will also be a digital-only release because, as stated by Remedy, It will become a digital release. Thus, I am not buying the game, like I said earlier. If someone gets the game for me, that's fine. I'll play it. As long as it's I don't care. If you get the game for me, I don't care what copy it is. I prefer Xbox, but if someone gives me the copy, I'll play it. I'll come here and I'll talk about it like I originally wanted to. If it's on sale for less than $20 ever, I'll get it. But I'm not paying full price of over $30 for any digital video game. It's stupid. It's dumb. See, digital video games, sure, direct to creator. That's cool. Cool beans. And Control, right? So you buy a digital video game, then you smack it on as an attachment to a profile or a client that needs to check in, right? We know I don't really care for pirating or anything like that. Anyone who knows me knows that I care less about the pirating crap. I don't do that with video games. If I'm going to play a video game, I'm going to support the person who made it. But for the sake of conversation, I can't take out my Alan Wake and share it with my friend. I'd have to give them my profile. I can't say Alan Wake sucks and return it or give it to GameStop and get money for it, because return policy on digital games are not lenient at all. So there's so many, there's a lot, and then there's no value in it. Like, and then the other issue is, what it, people lose their account. They lose all their digital games if you lose your account. And I'm not just, yes, some of these things are rare, but it happens. And the fact that it happens is why preservation of physical media should stay. In my personal opinion, I really feel that way. Oh, but you can lose your disc, or what if something happens, blah, blah. Well, there's a good chance I could go buy it back then. Prices increase over time, but I could buy it back. You can always buy a physical thing back. You just got to find the right person, and you got to have the price that they're asking. Digital media, I mean, buy it back again. And then you go through the same process of having it slapped onto a specific account and shit. That's just me. I don't like it. I only buy digital when it's really, really cheap. Only digital game I bought at absolute full price was Kingdom Hearts. Any other digital game I bought was on some sort of discount. Nair, I got that on discount. I was excited for it because I played it, bits of it on PC, not PC, on PlayStation. But I waited till it was on sale. I'm not going to go through a list, but yeah, that's just how I feel, because I don't think a digital game is ever worth $60, ever. I understand if it's an indie developer and they truly can't afford to go through all that because they're brand new. They don't know how their game's going to sell. I'll give them that. They can get my 60 if it looks good enough to me. But an established development team, people know what the fuck you do. People love what you do. You have fans waiting for this. And you're going to say that you can't find one person to team up with and make a cost-efficient fucking physical copy. This is their statement. Why is Alan 2 a digital only release? There are many reasons for this. One, a large number have shifted to digital only. A large number, you see, but large number, that's it. Sure, large number, but if you polled everyone around, if you've seen all the sales of physical and digital for either games in general or some of the most popular games, you'll get a number of people who still buy physical games, and it's a really good number. Anyway, you can buy a Sony PlayStation 5 without a disc drive, and a Microsoft Series S is a digital-only console. Yeah, but there's a PS5 with a disc drive, and the Series X comes with a disc drive. It is not uncommon to release modern games at digital-only. It's not uncommon, but it is very, very weird and still kind of rare, especially when they're AAA titles. Secondly, not releasing a disc helps keep the price of the game at $59.99 and the PC version at $49.99. Well, the PC is always digital, isn't it? But here's the thing. If the PC, which is also digital, is $49.99, why is the console version $59.99? At that point, give me a disc. Like that, that's also stupid. And also, I'm sure y'all could do the math and find something that is reasonable. People will buy the game for $70. Gamers are buying games for $70. We complain, but we're buying the games. Everyone who wants Alan Wake is buying Alan Wake. Finally, we did not want to ship a disc product and have it require a download for the game. We do not think this would be great for experience either. Every game that you purchase has a download. Unless you find a way to axe out the download in the day one patch by making sure you ship a game that is fully prepared and a game with the game on the disc. Everyone downloads games. That was literally the weakest argument. I have not put in a single game that did not require a download since I've started playing games on the system. Also, we have something called preloading. Everyone can preload. So what the fuck are you talking about? This is literally bullshit and atrocious. This is stupid. It's anti-consumer. Until everyone agrees to go full digital, it's anti-consumer until then. People have data caps. See, that's the other thing. Day one patches and giving you discs that don't have the full game on it until you download it. Bad choices. Horrible choices. Horrible shifts in the gaming culture. Forza Motorsport cover revealed in an email sent to Game Pass subs, and it looks as good as ever, and I believe that seems to be because the game is definitely coming this year. Towards the end for polishing, probably, but it is definitely coming out this year. Were you excited for Lord of the Rings' new game, Gollum? Well, sorry to disappoint, but it's getting massively horrible reviews. Plenty are calling it one of the worst games that they've played. Worse than Redfall. Worse than Callisto. And there was another game that was considered Forspoken. The game looks drastically different from the reveal, and it is insane, the change. They put out a statement of forgive us, but I mean, that game looks really fucking bad compared to what they first showed us. I was interested in playing it, and now I'm going to wait until it's like $5. If there's a physical. If there's no physical, I'm not playing the game at all. I like my physical collection. And I'm not interested. Since I'm not interested, I wouldn't buy a digital game for $5. That's really bad. Especially if I'm only going to test it out for the podcast. If y'all request me to do it, I'll do it. But until then, no. Only if it's physical in store. According to Tom Henderson, understandably, a lot of games we've been waiting to see are pretty much done. So I'm not sure why Sony decided to wait this time around. And either, like I said earlier, they're either waiting for Xbox to show, then they're going to pop back out at the Summer Games Fest, or they're not actually as done as they want, and they're coming out, or they're coming out really late, and they're just like, yeah, no, we're going to wait, because these are coming out past 2024. THQ is attempting to come to the rescue in the Alan Wake situation. At Alan Wake, at Remedy Games, I mean, we did the disc version of Alan Wake for PC back in the day, if in case you missed it. And just because one person or company does not love physical, there is plenty who still do. Give us some thought. We'd love to go at it again, full circle and all. Hopefully that works out. I am very excited that they reached out, and I really, really, really would love a physical version. Like, I want to play that game. I love Remedy games. I love everything they do. Control is one of my favorite games of absolute all time, but I can't support that decision. It's not cool. Naughty Dog releases a statement regarding Last of Us MP. The Last of Us fans. We know many of you have been looking forward to hearing more about our Last of Us multiplayer game. We're incredibly proud of the job our studio has done thus far. But as development has continued, we've realized what is best for the game is to give it more time. Our team will continue to work on the project as well as our other game in development, including a brand new single player experience. We look forward to sharing more soon. We're grateful to our fantastic community for support. Thank you for your passion of our games. It continues to drive us. On that note, Sony also did slow down production on The Last of Us multiplayer. And I think we mentioned this earlier, they were hit with some firings or layoffs and stuff like that. So, other companies in Sony. So, that plays a really big part here. We'll see what happens to this. It's probably not coming. I mean, they're probably not going to show anything until late. this year, maybe December, maybe drop it for the summer, for the spring. Sucks for the Last of Us fans, but we'll see what happens, man. Diablo is on the way, June 6th, but June 1st, if you have the deluxe and ultimate edition, which are only digital, so I won't be playing it. Think this sucks, man. I would love to have gotten this game early. I'm gonna be away. I wanted to play it while I'm on my phone, but whatever. But here are the battle pass details. Free includes free cosmetics, Smoldering Ash for season blessings. Premium includes, oh, free has 27 tiers. Premium includes 90 total tiers. Two sets of cosmetic armor per class. Premium currency, mounts, cosmetic mount armor. And then accelerated, which is, I need this thing to go away. Go away. Why are you in the way? Territory, 20 battle pass, tear skip. What the fuck? Can you go away? Sorry, there's like this stupid, there we go. And additional special cosmetic. And apparently there's some sort of skip campaign button for second characters. For after you beat the campaign once, you can start skipping campaign, I guess, if you have one of those tiers. I guess that's cool for people who just want to go straight to endgame with a new character and level them up that way. I'm not too interested in that idea, but it is what it is. That's cool. If I get it, I'm just going to replay it again. There's not a lot on this other side, so we'll just go straight to it. Netflix now charges people to share their passwords, $7.99, to add accounts outside of the household. So either move back with your mama or steal her account entirely. HBO Max now has officially become Max. It's the stupidest thing ever because it literally looks exactly the same. They made a different little opening, and that's it. Like, there's literally no difference. You can't tell a single thing different about Max and HBO Max. So, da-dum. That's Netflix, but still. Yeah, so that was it. That's everything. There's nothing that we need to cover last minute because I already moved that to the next episode. Thank you for stopping by. I'm going to start putting these on YouTube too because apparently they don't go to YouTube. So, they're going to be on YouTube too. Tell your friends, man. Tell everybody. Let people know. The podcast is cracking. Alright, so thank you again. I'm happy to talk to all of you guys. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next week.